while is telling you the condition to stay in the loop. And the until is telling you the condition to get out of the loop. So one is talking about what keeps you in, the other is talking about what gets you out. Okay? And you can decide which one of these kinds of things you want to code. The other thing I wanted to make sure I mentioned is that this program was not designed to have you run the first and then the second and then the third and then the fourth. It was designed to let you test any one of them. And the reason I say that is that it will not work correctly because I didn't reset. If I wanted you to run all four, and I don't know why I would, then I should have reset over here. And right in there, I should put something like work count equals one, and then I would put work total equals zero. So I reset. If I don't reset, it keeps whatever it had from the previous one, and that impacts this. Okay, for example, if I run this, and I put in here 5, and 20, and I click the do while. Okay, so at the point after I finish this, work total is 100, right? And work count, I've added 1, 2, so work count is no longer less than or equal to 5, so it's a 6. So at the point that I have finished this, work count is a 6. And work total is 100. Now, if I don't reset it and I click the until, it goes up to 120 because it came down here to the until, the conditions at the bottom. So it said, oh, add 20 to work total. That's fine. I'll add 20 to work total. And then it said add 1 to work count, and that's a 7. And then it came down to the bottom, and it said, do it until work count is greater than the how many. Well, work count's now up to 7, which is greater than the 5, so it gets out. But before it got out, it increased the 100 up to 120 because it went through that loop once. If I had reset at the beginning of that loop, then it wouldn't have happened. Okay, for some reason it doesn't think it wants to take a picture. And I would love to know why. Okay, now let's see if it will take, let me take a picture if I put it kind of out of the way. Yeah. Okay, whatever. Okay, so now I am going to put those reset things in. Okay, changes are not allowed while code is running. I forgot to click the rectangle up here to stop it. So now I'm going to add in here work count equals 1 and work total equals 0. So I'm resetting. So now if I run it, I'm putting in 5 and I'm putting in 20 and do while gets me to 100 and until does exactly the same thing because I reset. So it started all over with work count at 1 and work total at 0, and so it worked just fine. Okay, so if I reset, it will work, and I can go through all of these, but I'd have to reset in each module. Actually, I don't have to reset in the for loop. Yeah, I do for the work total. Okay, so now if I get out of here and come down, there's two more. One of them is a for statement. Okay? And in the for statement, I do reset word count. So I'm setting it here. Then I say for word count equals 1 to text how many. So what that really says is for word count equals 1 to 5, because I put a 5 in there. So this is the stop. So it's going to go from 1 to 5. Step 1 is the increment or change. So step 1 is the increment or change. So if I have step 1, it adds 1 every time it goes through. Steps it up by 1. If I wanted to do only even numbers, I could say word count equals 2 and have step 2. And then it would do 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, and it would do even numbers. So if I start word count on a 2 and I add 2 to it every time, it goes up and eventually I'll see 2, 4, 6, 8, whatever, depending on when I stop it. And then the one down below is a while without a do. So look at the difference between this one and the one up higher. In the one up higher, it was written as do while. And the bottom thing says loop. In the one that I added in that you're not seeing, it's not a do while, it's a while. And it's not loop, it's end while. So they all, and that drives me crazy, because if you happen to write do while, you still want to write end while, but you're supposed to write loop. So anyway, these are the different ones, okay? And that's a way that you can do it. So this one is not on your version of it, but it's just a while with an end while. What's inside the loop is the same on all of them. I just add to total and add to count. So those are four ways of doing a loop. Now, one of the important things to notice here is that you cannot, and we talked about this right at the end of class, you cannot change any of the data in the boxes while the loop is running. You can try, but it's not going to do you any good. It's going to be so much faster, and it's not checking back. It's already got the data. So you can't change the data on the form. Okay? So, if you want to change data, what we're going to do is get out of this one if you don't have any questions. Anybody got questions? Yeah.
What does CINT mean?
The what?
CINT.
Convert to integer. It's like parse integer in JavaScript. File, close solution. And file, open. And I want to open, actually I'm going to skip down one. And I'm going to open user input. Okay. User input is like the prompt in JavaScript. Okay? What user input does for you, or the input box, it's actually my program. It's actually input box, it's like the prompt. Input box stops processing and asks you a question, asks you for data. Just like in JavaScript, it stops processing. Okay, if you hit that prompt and you don't enter anything in, and you leave the room for 10 minutes, when you come back, it's still going to be there. And that's true here. Okay, the input box stops and waits for user input. So if you are running a loop and you want to change data inside the loop, what are you going to use? The input box. Because the input box will stop the loop, take in your data, and then continue the loop. So you're going to use the input box. Now, in fact, Visual Basic does not use loops as much as JavaScript does. Because if I wanted to do this for 5 different people in JavaScript, I would write a loop that did it 5 times. In Visual Basic, I would just enter the data, click, enter the data, click, enter the data, click, and do it 5 times. When it involves user input. Because if I got to sit there and put in the input anyway, then I might as well click the button. Okay, so a lot of things like this don't need user input. So if I put in Dave, and then I say click here, notice what comes up. It comes up and says enter the hours worked. So I'm going to say 40. Okay, now notice how this looks. The prompt said enter hours worked. There's enter hours worked. Comma hours. Hours is the title of it. So those are the two things that are coming through. So I'm saying enter hours worked. I entered a 40, so I click OK. Then it says enter pay per hour. And I'll enter 25 and click OK, and it comes back that Dave is making 1,000. So, this is what I did on this. I defined a bunch of variables. I defined work hours, because they're going to put in the number and I want to store it someplace, so I'm storing it in work hours. I defined work pay per hour. And then I define work gross pay, which is the result of doing a calculation. And then I said, take work gross pay and put it out on the form, but I want you to make it the currency, have a currency look. So I want you to format it as currency. So format as currency got me the dollar sign, the comma, and the .00. Okay, because it set it up as currency for me. So that's a function. This is the format currency. It's a function. And it's a function that basically Visual Basic has, and it executes the function. So it says, take work gross pay and execute that function, which turns it into currency. The thing I want the format currency to work with has to be inside the parentheses. So I put it in the parentheses and say format that, and it formats it. Questions? Okay. So input box lets the user put in user entry. And really the main time you want to do that when you're doing with forms the way we are is when you want to have a loop and you want to stop the loop to put in data. That's the main time you want it. Because right here, I could have put boxes up here for hours, boxes for pay per hour. I didn't have to prompt them for that. I could have put up the boxes to take that in. Okay, and in fact, that's what I would have done if I wasn't trying to show you input box. Okay, questions? Then we will move on to the next one.
work areas. I couldn't find it for a minute.
Okay, again, remember that this is global. I have defined this as global. So that variable is set off as global. That means that I can use it here, and I can use it here, and I don't think I used it in the others, but I could have. It means I can use it everywhere. If I define it within a subroutine, then it is local to that subroutine, and I can't use it everywhere. Okay, it's local to that subroutine, and it can only be used in that subroutine. But if I define it globally, it can be used in any subroutine. Okay, so let's try running this and seeing what happens. So I have got three text boxes to take data in and a text box for an answer. I've got four buttons to click on, which will do check one, check two, prepare, and problem. And so I have those four buttons to click on, okay? And notice answer, I went in and played around with its properties to give it a yellow background and to make it a different font and make it bold and all that sort of stuff. So I went in and played with its properties. Okay? So, what's the difference between check one and check two?
The CIN.
No, they both got the C-I-N-T, I think, except not in third, you're right. That is a difference, and it really actually is not required up here, but it's always a good thing to put it in when you're converting something on a text box, because text boxes come in as text, and if you want it to be a number, it's always good to convert. But that's not the big difference. The big difference is an extra set of parentheses. Over here, I did a convert, so each of them have a parenthesis around the number that they converted. But up here, the add is enclosed in parenthesis, which means according to the order of operations, it will be done first because parenthesis can change the order of operations. In the second one, I don't have those parentheses, so what's done first? The division. Second is divided by third, and then the result is added to first. Whereas in the first one, I've got first plus second, add them up, and then divide. So, if I hit check one, what am I going to see given these numbers? If I hit check one, huh?
Six.
Does everybody buy six? I'm going to say 6 plus 12 is 18, because I'm doing the add first, divided by 3 is 6. So if I click on check 1, I get 6. What about if I click on check 2, what am I going to get? 10. Because if I click on check 2, come on... This thing is getting tiresome. If I click on check 2, I am going to get 10. Because in check 2, it does the divide first. 12 divided by 3 is 4. Add it to first, so 4 plus 6 is 10. Okay, what's the difference between compare and problem?
Compare
Right. Compares converting to an integer. And it's always best if you convert to an integer when you're dealing with numbers. Visual Basic considers everything on the form to be text. And text is handled differently than numbers. Okay? So in text, if I have two words up there, ABC and AMG, I want to compare the first letters. A's are the same, so I continue on. B to M, B is smaller, so that one wins. Okay, so it's alphabetical. Numbers are not that way. So if I click compare, it comes back and tells me first is not bigger than second. And that's true, first is not bigger than second. If I click on problem, it comes back and tells me that first is bigger than second. And the reason it tells me that is that 6 compares to 1. They compare to the right leftmost character. 6 compares to 1, 6 is bigger, it wins. Okay? So what it's doing is it's doing alphabet kind of comparisons. Because the stuff that comes in on the form is in a text box, emphasis on the word text. So it treats it like it's text. It treats it like it's character. Okay? And I would love to know why it is acting up. Let me see if I'm getting those. No, it's actually taking the pictures before, so that's good. Okay, the next one I want to look at is arrays. Oh, I think. That's everything, right? Yes. File, close solution. And I want to open the one called Department Arrays. Okay, the first thing is understanding what an array is. And we'll actually go back and look at JavaScript probably on Tuesday and go back and look at arrays in JavaScript. But I think they're easier to understand somehow in Visual Basic, so we're going to look at them in Visual Basic first. An array is like a table. In fact, it used to be called a table. So I am setting up an array. Right at the top of the screen, you can see where I set it up in the global area because I want the array to be available to me in any of the modules that I have here. I want this array to be available. So I set up the array and I called it div department name 5. Okay. Now, you all know enough about programming to know that you can't use the same variable name and have it two different variables. I can't have variable ID number, because it gets confused. But in an array, I can, because I put a number that tells which one. And that number is an index or a subscript. Or sometimes it's even called a pointer. And that number lets me use the name multiple times because it differentiates. Department name with an index of 1 is not the same as department name with an index of 2. So it lets me have that. But that means that any time I use the word department name, I got to have the parenthesis and a number in it, so I tell it which one. Okay, so what I've got here is I said I was doing 5. Now, in fact, 5 up here refers to the biggest one. in fact, there is a zeroth element that I just chose not to use, but it's there. And so, in fact, there are six things, but they go zero through five, and the five is what I'm looking for there. So the first one, two, three, four, five. The first one is girls. The second one is boys. Infants. Toys. Books. So that's the array that's set up. And it is saying department name modified by one is girls. Department name modified by two is boys. Okay, indexed by, subscripted by. Infants is three after it. So if I write department name, it's going to come back with an error. But if I write department name with parenthesis and put a number in it, it's going to be happy. What I'm going to do instead of that is I am going to stop while I take a picture. I am going to put a word after department name. So let's see me run this and see how it works. So if I say start, and then I say, okay, I'm going to put a 4 in there, and then I say get department name, and it comes back with toys. And if I look up here at the array, department name modified by or subscripted by 4 equals toys. So what? What it did is in the code below, so let's look at that. I said if, and this time I used val, I could have used convert integer, cint, but I used val in this. So I converted text department number to a number, and I said if it's greater than 0 and it is less than 6, so that means 1 to 5, right? If it's 1 to 5, then take this box down here, this text department name, and make it equal to department name, and in parentheses, I am putting the department number that I entered in. So I entered in a 4. So it is reading this as department name modified by 4. Department name subscripted by 4. Department name indexed by 4. And it is going and finding that one. And the one that my 4 is toys. And so it is putting on. That if statement that I have there is absolutely critical, because if I put in a number that's out of range, the program is going to crash. Okay? So by putting that if statement in there, I prevent crashes. And I tell it what to do if indeed I put in a wrong number. Okay, so again, notice my clear, by the way, before I do that. Clear clears out the boxes. Notice what it does down here. It says text, department number, dot, do the clear function. Clear with the two parentheses makes it a function, and it's doing the clear function. So that means empty out that box. So if I click on button clear, it empties out my two boxes. So then, if I put a 2 in, and I hit, I see boys. If I put a 7 in, and I hit, I see invalid department number. So that came from this if statement. That if this statement is not true, it takes the else, and it writes out invalid department number.
So when I put in a 7, I got invalid department number. Questions? So that's how an array works. Okay. The next thing I want to do is look at what's in here. One of these things is form department array underscore load. Okay. This is the load of it. So I have the load event. The load event happens if I click any unused area on the form. So I click an unused area on the form, it will create the load event. Okay? So, for example, let's just take this out for now. And I'm going to delete it. Except that I'm running, so I can't do that. And I go back to my form, and I click on an unused area in the form. It created the load. I copied too much of it. There we go. Okay, so it creates the load event. Okay, and I put it down at the bottom this time because the order that it does things in there is the order that you click on it, the order that you have it do it. Okay, so the load event happens when I click on an area of the form that isn't used for anything else. And then I get the load event. Okay, notice there's also a button exit here. And the button exit says end. Another way I can do that, and I did it in some of the others, is me close. Me being the current form, close function. Either one of those works. Or, for that matter, you can just click the X at the top of the form, and that works. Okay. So now, what I want to look at is how that works with a structure. When you structure a program, basically, you have three parts of it. You have something that we call frequently housekeeping, or it can be called setup, or something like that. We have a part of the program where we do our processing. And we do a part of the program where we wrap things up and get ready to go, to stop. Okay? Now, housekeeping is done one time. It's the stuff you need to do to get ready to write the program. Okay, so it's stuff that is done one time. So you might be establishing variables with a particular value. In this particular program that we've just been looking, the housekeeping I did was the load. And that is done just one time. It will load. This is basically set up. So I put the stuff that made the array, okay, inside the load. So it would be done once before I started anything else. As soon as the form gets loaded, load gets executed. So it happens the minute the form gets loaded, that load gets executed.
and it doesn't get executed again. Okay? Load just happens once. It only happens once. And so stuff that I need in the program, like the array that I'm going to use, I can do in the load event. And that's a one-time event at the front. Okay? Wrap up is also one time. And here's where I can do things like write totals. And I can also end or close the program. In this particular program, I did the end. I didn't write out any titles, any totals. But I could have. So the write is where I do the totals. And that is done one time on the way out. Now, you know, when you write a program like JavaScript, if I wanted to set up an array, and we'll see that, if I want to set up an array, I do it right at the beginning of the program, because in a JavaScript type of style, you put it at the beginning of the program, and you just have the array set up at the beginning of the program, so that on the drop-down basis, it hits the setup of the array first. And then you probably have a loop for processing in JavaScript. On a process more than one record, you have a loop. So frequently, you know, lots of programs have loops. And I loop through it however many times I want to go through it, with a counter or until an amount is so big, or until the user says stop, or something like that. So the process is to do something repetitively. Okay? It is where you're going to do something and it's going to be repetitive. And you're going to do it over and over and over again. Okay? It could just be one thing. I mean, I'm sure the labs at MIT, when they're trying to calculate the result of a complex thing, do it just once because they are trying to get an answer, maybe. So they may do it, and the code is incredibly long, incredibly complex, and they take an input and run it, and it just runs once. And then if they want to do it again, they at some point do it. But most of us are not doing that kind of stuff, and so we're going to do it repetitively. Now, in Visual Basic, repetitive is different because it is on a form, and it's got buttons to cause things to happen. So you don't tend, as I said before, to write loops as often as you just have the click event happening, okay, if you're taking in data. So that's the structure of a program. Then it has housekeeping, it has processing, and it has wrap-up. And housekeeping is one time at the beginning, wrap-up is one time at the end, and processing is the thing that is usually repetitive, and lots of times it's loops. Okay? So if we go back and look at the program, this is the wrap-up. And these are the processing. And I have two different types of processing that I'm doing here. One is to process the data that comes in, and one is to clear it out. But they're both processing. Okay. The processing is activated by a button, as is the end. Housekeeping, in this case, is activated by the form being loaded. Okay. Yeah.
So, is housekeeping, isn't housekeeping here?
Yes, and it was when I originally started. It doesn't have to be, though, in Visual Basic. In JavaScript, you definitely would put it first. Because in JavaScript, you're working on a drop-down basis. So you want it up at the beginning, so you do it first. But here, we're working on a much more interactive basis. This load means when the form is loaded. The form gets loaded once, and the program starts. So if I say, do it on the load event, then it will do it once when the program starts. And it doesn't matter where it's located, anything that has a load on it will be done once when the program starts. Then everything else I have here is on a click event. So all of the rest of the stuff that I've got here is based on clicking. And it's done when I click. So in Visual Basic, it's a different style than most programs because everything is so based on the clicking. And you can write Visual Basic that doesn't click, but people don't tend to do it as much. They tend to use other languages and they want to do massive processing, massive calculations. Or at least that's my opinion. Okay? So that's how it works. Okay. Okay, so what we're going to be doing now, let's talk about your homework and the rest of the semester, and then I want to give you time to start the homework. We are going to come close to wrapping up Visual Basic next Tuesday. If there's anything left over, we'll do it when we come back from Thanksgiving. But we're going to come close to wrapping it up. And then we have two more weeks of classes. Okay, because the way I teach is we will come back and we will have the week of the 28th and the week of the 5th. So we'll have those 2 weeks of classes. That following week, I make open labs. Okay, so I don't have classes the last day of the semester unless I get sick or something, we miss some days or something, but I don't do classes the last day of the semester. It will be an open lab. And Eric will be here. I'll be away for one of them, one or two of them. Because I have a granddaughter that's having a hospital stay. And then, so, this particular time. So, you will be here. Eric will be here. I'll be here on the later side of the week. And then the following week is the final. And the final gets posted a week before it's due, or at least a week before it's due. It may get posted before then. And you go through the final, and it has to be passed in by whatever date and time the final starts. So if your final starts at 10 o'clock on the 20th, I've got to have received it from you via email by 10 o'clock on that date. Okay? And I give you a backup email to send it to if you have problems. And if you have real problems, you can always upload it to CIS Web and send me something that says it's up on CIS Web. Okay? So the final is a set of problems to solve. There are certain ones that are required and others that are optional. So the required, I think, gets you to about a 65 if you get them all right. And then you get to add in the optional ones to go as high as you want. And I stop at 120 and say, anybody that earns 120, I'm not looking at anything more. They did. That's it. We've stopped. So you get to choose on the optional ones which ones you want to do and which ones you don't want to do. And you get to choose how many points you're aiming for. Okay? So that's how the final works. Now, today, I have got Your first assignment, first of all, is a quiz that's due next Tuesday. So do the quiz at some point. Your first visual basic isn't due till the 29th, which is after Thanksgiving, obviously. Its usual due date is on Thanksgiving. It's not going to be due on Thanksgiving. Okay? What I want you to do is to redo the first JavaScript assignment. So that first JavaScript assignment that you did, I want you to redo, but now I want it in Visual Basic. Okay? So, and I'm doing that on purpose because I want you to see the comparison between writing in the two languages. So the first JavaScript assignment is over here. Okay? So if I were suggesting what I would do on this, I would set up and I would use boxes as opposed to input boxes. I would use text boxes. I'd put a text box for the food judge and text box for the beverage judge. And then I'd have a button and maybe three buttons, depending on how you want to do it. You could have one button that then does all the calculations and puts the answers up. Or you could have a button that does the first calculation, a button that does the second calculation, and a button that does the third calculation. Your choice. But you've got to come back to me with the price of the meal, the price with tax, and the price with tip. Okay? That you did in JavaScript, and now you've got to do it in Visual Studio, in Visual Basic. And I want you to emphasize using text boxes as opposed to input boxes. Because input boxes, if you want to try one with input boxes, that's fine. But this assignment doesn't have any loops, and so it doesn't really need to have those. So the one where you say, I want three scores, if you really want to use a loop, you can do that with input. But I suggest you do not do it. So I would just have three boxes. But if you want to experiment more, you can, if you want to, set up a prompt, an input box rather, and you can take on one thing. But there's two where I do that kind of thing, so I'd like you to do one of them with text boxes and then experiment with the other one. Question?
Now, are we doing all of the different programs? All the different problems?
Yes.
Different program. Okay.
As six different, is it six or five? Five. As five different programs.
All right.
So you're going to zip up, okay, because remember what you're doing is you specify when you start the project that you want it stored in a folder. Okay? So then at the end, you presumably got five folders. You have to zip them each up and send them. If you, some people put them all in the same place and zip them all up, that's fine. You want to zip them all up. But they still have to zip. When I unzip them, I have to be able to get the beam to the folder. So you're zipping that inside as well. So I want to get five different things. Okay, so we're going to stop now and give you some time to stop doing the first one and ask questions if you have it. Any questions before I stop?